So, of course, you remember the Patriot Act. That is the Bush-era law established after September 11th that gave law enforcement a great deal more authority to conduct domestic surveillance, to investigate American citizens. Democrats argued for years and still argue that it infringes upon civil liberties. Republicans said it was necessary to keep the country safe from terrorists. After a decade of controversy, three key provisions of the Patriot Act were extended yesterday by an overwhelming vote in Congress, and then President Obama signed the bill from Europe with a totally, totally cool pen. Not everybody's happy about the vote. Here's Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky speaking on the Senate floor yesterday.
I am worried about a government that is sifting through millions of records without asking, are you a suspect? Without asking, are you in league with foreign terrorists? Are you plotting violent overthrow of your government?
Joining us now, Julian Sanchez, research fellow at the Cato Institute, where he focuses primarily on issues of civil liberty, surveillance, intelligence, and national security. And Julian, that sounds like your specialty is exactly what's covered by the Patriot Act.
The Patriot Act is my beat, I suppose.
All right, so let's kind of remind people, because this law has been around for 10 years, let's remind people of, first of all, it was established with there even more things in it than they renewed last night. The act has been since been edited because of these arguments over civil liberties, and then we end up 10 years later renewing some of the most controversial portions. What's the history of this?
Right. So there were, I think, 14 provisions that were made permanent in 2006 when they made a series of changes. So these are the ones that are left remaining that had sunsets attached to them. Some of the worst aspects of these provisions even were actually fixed by the amendments they made in 2006. And so there's these three remaining, and there's some other equally controversial ones that I think didn't have enough attention during the initial passage to have a sunset affixed to them, like national security letters. It's sort of by happenstance in part, but also because these were the ones that remained in part controversial, even after having narrowed them somewhat.
All right, so we have the roving wiretap power, and this is one that we've heard a lot about, Julian Sanchez. This is one that really got a lot of people, especially Democrats, up in arms. What does the roving wiretap allow federal authorities to do?
So the roving wiretap authority lets a warrant be issued to track a suspect from phone to phone or account to account if it appears that they may be switching phones or accounts quickly without having to go back to a judge for a new warrant each time. The normal process is that you have a series of numbers that you list in the warrant, and that's what the warrant applies to. This kind of authority exists in criminal investigations already, long has. No one really has much of a problem with that. The thing is that because the Fourth Amendment requires particularity in a warrant, the idea is that a judge is supposed to decide what a warrant covers, and the discretion of the person executing the warrant is supposed to be limited to what the warrant allows searches of. The constitutionality of that roving authority on the criminal side is linked pretty tightly to the fact that it requires a named suspect,
right,
to avoid giving too much discretion to the agent. Here, a description is good enough for intelligence purposes. So, since the description might well be an initial account, you can imagine a warrant saying, "Okay, this is a warrant for, Osama buddy at Yahoo.com." And then any other account, the agent determines that that person is using.
And this is really the problem, Julian Sanchez, is how broad these powers are. They renewed not just the roving wiretap; they reviewed the library provision that lets people look at the books you've checked out at the library, and the lone wolf provision, which is really a difficult one for a lot of people since it allows them to investigate foreigners who are not affiliated with terrorist groups. Tell me about the debate at this point that allowed these provisions to be renewed and say not the others. How has the debate changed that lets these three go in and everything else not?
Well, the other thing, because everything else doesn't need to be renewed. Everything else at this point is permanent by default. These are the only provisions that even require renewal. The other stuff is just part of the law now. Other stuff that perhaps would be a good idea to go back and take a look at. But why they were able to, I think, to pass so easily and so overwhelmingly is that we have this sort of strange situation where leadership sort of sets up this looming crisis that's kind of completely manufactured. They decide not to allow the debate they've promised, not to allow consideration of amendments. And then, of course, they end up at the very last minute taking it up and saying, well, it's a crisis. It's about to expire, which, of course, is a crisis that they created.
Right.
Not, of course, mentioning that all these provisions are grandfathered, which means that if they were to expire, they would continue to be available for every investigation that's already underway and every investigation covering activity that happened before the sunset. So the idea that anything really would change in the course of a few days or a few weeks even, if these provisions were to expire is actually kind of ridiculous if you understand how the law works.
I do, but Julian Sanchez, research fellow at the Cato Institute, the debate has changed. I mean, Senator Obama was very much against these provisions in the Patriot Act, and yet the Obama administration has used this act and these provisions more than President Bush did.
Absolutely. In fact, there's a video from 2007 of Obama saying, again, a different power, national security letters should not exist, essentially, as applied to American citizens who are not suspected of terrorist wrongdoing. In 2010, more than 14,000 Americans were targeted by these letters. And, of course, most of those people are not terrorists. They're fortunately, are not that many terrorists in the U.S.
Do you think, Julian Sanchez, at this point, that that these provisions in the Patriot Act are just going to be one of those things that gets automatically renewed? Is the debate sort of dying out over them? Because the war on terror is never ending, in some extent, is the Patriot Act never ending?
That is certainly a risk. The one hope here is that Senator Wyden has urged that one of these provisions, probably the business records one, has been used in a secret way that is not what most people would understand it to apply to. Most people think that probably involves using it not to get library records, but to turn it into basically a large-scale geo-tracking tool that will turn, essentially turn cell phones en masse into homing devices. If something like that is what's going on, that could certainly cause renewed scrutiny.
All right. Julian Sanchez is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. He's talking about the renewal of the Patriot Act, which was renewed overwhelmingly by Congress yesterday. Thank you so much, Julian.